Happy Sabbath, everyone. Hope you had a good week. At least we've had some real nice weather so far, haven't we? Well, we have a full house again. That's really good to see. I hope you all been cleaning out like I have. I cleaned two cars out yesterday. My wife was the dirtiest. Of course, I probably hadn't cleaned hers either as often as I have my own, so sorry about that, but yeah, it took a little bit more time. I usually wait till the end, and usually then you're in a rush on the last day or two, you know. And so I decided to do a little bit early, and I think I'll be happy about another week and a half probably. So I hope you are doing fine, too. Hope we're all looking forward to keeping God's holy Passover and being a part of His family for eternity, because that's what we're all about, looking at ourselves and examining ourselves. Put my glasses on here so I can see you all. No, I'm really wanting to see the paper. My eyes are okay the other way now. If you will turn with me to 1 Samuel 7, 3. This is one of the things that was said that Samuel spoke on and telling the house of Israel, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. You know, that applies to us today. That applies to us today because we're facing trials as we are here in this world, which is not God's world at this time. Satan has more power at this time to influence us. One of these days, Satan's going to be taken away. But if we're doing our part, we will not have any problems that we can't handle. Not saying that we won't have trials. Not saying that we won't come against things that we have to stand up against. But we have to stand up for God always. But if we serve Him only, our life will be so much easier. Now, I want to turn over to Samuel 8, just one page over. And this is showing what the children of Israel did, first of all. In verse 5, it says, well, let's go back, I guess, to verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramoth and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Right here, what do they want to do? They want to become like all the nations. God had been their leader. God had guided and directed. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. In verse 7, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That was the beginning of a lot of mistakes for Israel. And they continued in that, and they had good kings and bad kings. Solomon was their first king. Let's go to Kings. 1 Kings 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. And now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Wow. To God, the living God. And as all of the kings, or most of the kings, Solomon did what? He got turned aside. And as you see, as you go through the kings and Chronicles, all of them, you see they had good kings and bad kings. And if you read some of that, I'm not going through a lot, but even the good kings, they forgot something. They cleared out the big things and the big cities and everything, but they still left some of the adultery stuff in outer parts. They did not clean up the whole country. And you know, when you and I are cleaning out our homes, we need to make sure that we're looking for that little bit of leavening that reminds us that we need to look to leavening in our hearts and minds. Because you see, the big stuff is easy sometimes to take out. We can see this and say, I need to remove this. This is a problem I have. And then there's a little thing here on the side that, well, hey, that's not real bad. God tells us that anything that doesn't revolve around Him is not of Him, is of Satan. And Satan hates you and me. We at this time, as we're preparing for the Passover and for the days of unleavened bread, is a time that we need to really examine ourselves. Because when we repent, anytime we repent, God forgives if we do it right. If we come before God and really repent. But you and I both know that there's things that we do that sometimes we don't find out about till later, or something, some just before the feast, something comes to mind. And you think, maybe I should go talk to Joe Blow or Sue or whoever it may be. Because maybe I didn't realize what I had done. It may have been kind of offensive to them. That shows where we're looking for the fine points in our lives. Because we need to look for the fine things in our lives, that these little crumbs that get in these little cracks, you know, and they just sort of hard to get out. You know, I was doing my trunk yesterday trying to get rid of this, I don't know what it was in the back of the trunk, and I could not with that vacuum get that thing to come out, and I worked on that thing, and I worked on that thing. I even took my finger and went across it, and I still couldn't get it out. Finally, I was able to work it after a while with the vacuum thing, and kept rubbing it and scrubbing it, and it came out. And it made me think, that's how hard it is for us sometimes to look at the small things that can become big things. Because it's just like the leavening that we talk about during the Passover. It starts out very small and it just grows. So we need to keep our eyes out. And when we're looking at ourselves now, that we'll be looking not for the big issues. Don't get me wrong. We're to look for the big issues, but they'll become more apparent. But as we examine ourselves, we need to be looking for anything that would take us away from the living God. Because God is a jealous God. And He wants you and me to be in His kingdom. He did not call everyone. This time, He has called you and me. And He loves us. And He knew what we were when He got us. He knows what He took us out of. And if we look back from when we started in God's church and God opened our mind, we will say, wow. Because sometimes we don't think we've changed. But if you go back and think back what you were and when you came in and how excited you were when you came in, because all of a sudden you saw this as plain as day. It's like somebody put a bulletin board in front of you and said, this is that, and you're going, wow, that's right. I need to do that. And that's when we started changing. Because God saw we were receptive. And the main thing is, we have to start changing. We have to understand God's way of life, and we have to walk in it. You and I walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Christ came down here, gave His life for each and every one of us. And he's that light. Turn with me to John 1:6, if you would. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the world didn't receive him. They haven't received him to this day. And why is that? Well, it's because God has not opened their mind. Do we realize the miracle that it is that you and I understand God's truth? Other people read this Bible, and they get good points out of it, but they do not realize that they must do it. We are to be a doer of God's way of life. That's what it tells us in James, to be a doer. And when we are a doer, we continue to grow. And we will be growing till the day that Jesus Christ returns, and probably even more so after that. But we are growing in his grace and knowledge every day. And the more we apply to our lives, and the more we change, the stronger we become. Because only the strong are going to make it. Only those who have the words of Jesus Christ and God in our hearts and minds are going to make it. Many of us here have seen people whom we knew who have left. They've been deceived. And we do not want to be deceived. To not be deceived, we have to be aware, looking to God's word and God's way, and understanding how much God loves you and me. He gave his only begotten Son. And he died a horrible death for you and me and the whole world. We're to walk in that light of the living God. God sent Jesus here to be the light to the world, to be the Savior for each and every one of us. And he suffered a horrible death. A horrible death for you and I. And he did nothing wrong. Can you imagine doing that for someone else? Are we willing? Will we be able to stand up to what is coming? It's going to be a bad time. Before Christ returns, there's going to be a lot of things happening. And if we're not strong, if we're not close to God, when all these things happen, and as he says, it may come as a thief in the night, you and I must be prepared. And the only way we're prepared is through study, prayer, and action. Action of obedience. That's why at this time of year, during this Passover season, God has us to examine ourselves. Because, you see, he doesn't want any of us not to be there when Christ returns. He wants you and me to be there. He says, I have a plan for each of you. each and every one of us. We have something that God wants. And do you realize how important you are? Do you realize how many people you represent that would love to have that opportunity? We each represent probably hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people. So if we fail, there's another one he can call. As Gerald McLaughlin, you say, how was it that thing say, says, one, something doesn't stop the show. I can't think, what's the word? Anybody know?
Monkey.
One monkey. Now I know what I am, anyhow. But, you know. Thanks, Ron.
I heard
But Gerald used to say that all the time. He said, one monkey doesn't stop the show. And it doesn't. So we want to stay being that servant of God and not throw it away. Because there are thousands out there who can take our place. He has blessed you and I with the blessing of becoming a first fruit of the living God. And we have to do our part, though. He has opened our hearts and minds. But he will not make us. We have to choose to obey God. We have to choose what we hear, what we read. Take the correction that's in God's word and apply it to our lives. And say, yes, God. Yes, I want to do that. Yes, I want to be in that first resurrection. That's what he's called us to do. We are special in that realm. Not that we're better than anybody else, but we have been given the opportunity to be a part of the living God's first family before everybody else. And we have a part in being able to help those who come later. And we will be teaching them. We will be guiding them and helping them just as God has his Holy Spirit helping us. So we have to study. We have to grow in God's truth and way of life. And we have to apply it that we will continue to be with God through all of the things that will be coming. He says it will be bad. When we read in Revelations, all the things are going to happen. A third of the world this and a third of the world that. Can you imagine being around all that death? Can you imagine what the people who are coming out afterwards, that you and I are being trained now to learn how to guide and direct them to have love and mercy, patience. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That's what we got to be full of, God's Holy Spirit. It's love. We got to have love for one another, for those who are coming out. We have joy because of the truth that God gives unto each and every one of us. We have peace when other people do not have peace because we have God's word. And it will give us the peace of mind that we need. And we learn to be long-suffering and patient as God has been with you and I. And he's been very loving, very kind, very patient, very merciful. Because we're still here. Because we're still trying. We know that the better world is coming. Our God is bringing down his city, and we have an opportunity to be a part of it. Turn with me to 1 John 1, if you would. First one, John 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, which is Jesus Christ we're talking about, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all of our sins. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's pretty sobering when you think about it. When you really think about it. The light came down for you and me. He died for you and me. He gave His life because His Father asked that we can be a part and be a light. And as we know, back in Matthew 5, 14, 16, it talks about we are to be, what? The light of the world. You and I are to be these lights. And the better we are in serving God, and the more obedient, the brighter the light will be. It's up to you and me. If we're obedient to God. We have trials, yes. But as we have trials, we also build what? We build character. We build resilience. We build faith and trust in the living God because we put our faith and trust in Him. For we know, as it says in Romans 6:23, I won't turn there, you've heard it many times. The wages of sin is what? Death. So every time we sin, our penalty could be death. And we do not want to go through everything we've gone through and growing in God's grace and knowledge. Having the happiness and joy and love that He gives us and what He shows us is coming even to give up at the end and walk away. Walk away because Satan has deceived you. Satan has fooled you. Satan has set a trap and you fell for it. And when we fall in a trap and we sin, we only have to do one thing. Realize what we have done and repent. And just like you and I, when we have children, when our children do something wrong, we told them they shouldn't do. You know, you shouldn't get up on that little chair there, Johnny, and jump because you're only 2 years old and you could really get hurt. And Johnny jumps, and guess what? Johnny breaks a leg. What do? Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Why? What do? Oh, Johnny, are you okay? Can I help? Oh, son. Oh, what can I do? That's the way God is with you and I every time we sin and we repent. He is loving. He is merciful. And He wants nothing but to help us grow and get back up on our feet and walk the straight and narrow path that leads to Him and His Father. Satan, we know, is the father of all lies. And you know, sorry to say, since he's a roaring lion going around and everywhere and using anybody he can, sometimes we're taken in. Turn with me to John 8:44, if you would. John tells us, and Christ tells us in 8:44, let's go back to verse 42. And Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, For I proceeded forth and came from God. Not have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. And why are we not able to listen to his word? You are of your father. He's talking about the Pharisees and him. The devil and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. So now we know why you're not to lie in Ten Commandments, right? Because if we lie, we're succumbing to Satan. If we lie, Satan has got a little stick in us somewhere. That's something that we have to repent of. Or it's not going to go away. Because Satan's going to be there to turn it more and more so that you will lie more and more. But loving God as our Father is, he gives you only his words and his understanding that we know when we do something like that, we must repent. And repent quickly. That doesn't get a seed deep down in us and a root that is harder to get out. If we get it immediately, it will come out quickly. If we give it root, it's just like a plant. You let a plant get the root in it. If you get one that's got a long root, it's hard to pull out. If you get it in the very beginning, when it's planted, you can take the seed and remove it. We do not want Satan to get a hold of us. And you and I both know that's easier said than done sometimes. But we need to always be aware of it and realize that's why you and I need to repent quickly when we know that we have sinned and broken one of God's laws. Satan's that roaring lion out there that which rules the world right now. Right now, I don't know what to think about the world. I think in the last year, I've never seen anything like it, that the whole world has gone into panic. The whole world shut down. And people have no common sense at all. No common sense. It is just amazing to me. And people are afraid. You and I do not have to be afraid. And I hope we aren't afraid. I hope all this has done is bring us closer to our Father and God, because God is always there and he will give us the peace. He will give us the understanding. He will hear our prayers. And we will be the light to this world that he has called you and me to be. Many people in this world will be able to have the peace that you and I have. And sometimes we think we have troubles and trials, but you know, we have the hope. We know what's coming. And we know God's in charge. As Mr. Armstrong used to say, if we last to the end, God wins. We win. You and I will be in God's kingdom. A part of God's family for eternity. That's what's at stake. That's what you and I have at stake when we come before our God on Passover. Because we renew ourselves back to our living God every Passover. And days on unleavened bread. And each day we come here, the Holy Sabbath day. This is God's Holy Sabbath day. And today this is not anything but where God's at. We need to keep that in mind. This isn't Mary Kay on the Sabbath. Today, this is God's place. And you know, God has been merciful. Because many people in God's church have not had the blessing to be able to go to church. And we know we didn't for how long? A few months? Which would you rather do? Be together as a family? Or be home by yourself? Even though we have the blessing and thankful for those who are sick and need, we do have the equipment that they're able to see and hear sermons. And we need to try and make sure that we come up and say hello to them, because it means a lot to them. I was talking with Jim and Betty this past week. I went over to visit them on Tuesday. And you know what they said? You know what they miss? They miss being with each and every one of us and being at church. And so do all those who are not able to attend. It is a blessing that we're here. And God has provided for us. And I pray that each of us continue to pray and thank God for the place we have. Because many would love to have it. Love to be able to get together again. And as we see the last few weeks, it seems like we're getting more and more, and it's really good to see. The more we see, the better it is. Because it's good to see everyone. It's good to be together. Because we're of like mind. And why is that? Because God has called you and me to understand this truth that we're here for today. And to be a part of His wonderful family. And we don't want to lose it. We do not want to go away, as some have. Over 50 years, I've known a lot of people who have left God's church. And many of you have too. Many of you have been here 40 and 50 years. And it hurts when you think about it. Because some of them were very good friends. Some of them were family. Physical family. And it's definitely not the same. For them or us. For us because we miss them. For them because Satan's got a hold of them. Whether they understand it or not, the roaring lion found a hole, a gap that he could get a hold of. And he did. If you'll turn with me to 2 Peter 2:20. Second Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But this has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having voice to her wallowing in the mire. That's what you and I do not want to do. We do not want to take our eyes off of God. We do not want to let sin fester in our lives. God gives us this Passover, these days of unleavened bread, which is 7 days, telling us to concentrate on putting sin out of our lives. And we eat unleavened bread so that when we hear that crunch, we realize those are broken bones that Jesus Christ could have given for you and me. He didn't have any bones broken, but He gave His body and it was in a tangled mess because he never had any broken bones. But when you hear that crackling of the unleavened bread, and that's why we should eat it daily and with every meal, because we need to remember God said, I died for you. You're sin-free when you come out of Passover. Work on keeping it that way. Don't fall back into what you had before or what you've done before. Repent and go away from it. Now we're human. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But the thing is, if we're doing God's will and studying, God will make us catch it immediately that we've sinned. And then we can repent immediately and not pay the penalty of the sin. For sins come back to haunt you. Sins come back to hurt you. We're to be a light. And if we sin and become a liar, and people know you, they say, well, he's a liar. I've heard him lie before. And you know what? Just as some of the men in the Bible have had to say what they did wrong. Remember, David was brought out. David didn't even realize what he was doing. You say, well, sure, he had to. When you're sinning, you can make all kinds of excuses. How many excuses have you ever made as a young kid when your mom and dad told you not to do something and you had an excuse why you did it? Huh? Say, well, yeah, but. And what did Adam even say to God? Well, this is the woman you gave me. It was her fault that I took the fruit. You know, he was blaming God. Think about that. That's how much we will try to make excuses. And we need to make sure we don't do that. We're not to be children anymore. We're to be adults. We're to be growing in God's grace and knowledge. And if someone comes to you in loving concern, how do we handle it? How do we handle it? You know, I may not like something somebody says, and I may disagree with them, and pretty much sometimes stand up pretty strong thinking I know what I'm talking about. And then I realize, you know, it took him quite a bit of guts to come up and tell me, Dave, you're doing this. He wasn't doing it out of being spiteful. He was doing it out of because he cared. You know, there's one thing that I've seen for years, and probably most of you have too. When somebody leaves our fold, and calling it God has given us, do you see anybody who leaves and they leave just like that? Do they leave immediately? They come one Sabbath, next, I'm not coming. In my 50-some years, I've never seen that. Now, I'm not saying all of us this way, but most of the time, you'll see someone come to church and they'll be having problems and they won't tell anybody or they won't talk about it or talk to the minister or a good friend. And next thing you know, they come a little later to church. And then they leave a little earlier from church. And then as time goes by, they start coming later to church. They used to come an hour early. Just couldn't wait to be with us, have fellowship. Are we looking for signs that people may need help? Are we looking for our brothers and sisters to make sure they know that we care? Are we interested enough to make sure that everyone is doing okay? It's our job. We're to be the light. Not only to each other, but to the world. But usually it takes someone between 6 months and over a year that I've noticed before they leave. I remember when someone told me they were leaving. And I said, well, I knew that. And I'd said something to them a couple times. And they said, well, how did you know? I said, well, you caught yourself almost going out as soon as you came in. And what I was talking about was, they came at church 5 minutes before church, and they left 5 minutes after. We need to be aware, as brothers and sisters, of each other. Because I know that I sure would want someone to come to me and help me. I would hate to think that I put in 50-some years in God's church, being blessed, having guidance, direction, help, correction. Don't like correction sometimes, but I need it. So do you. But you know, I would hate to think that after all these years, somebody let me walk out that door without saying something. And I hope I never do it for any of you. I hope that I'd be a loving brother. And say something before I saw you hitting yourself going in and out. It's just something we need to be aware of. We're a family. You may not have chosen me, and I may not have chosen you. But you know who called us? God the Father. And we are now family. It's just like when there's a marriage in a family. The person that gets married out of your family to another family, you become family. You accept them totally with love. Totally as being part of your family and wanting your family to grow. That's what God wants for you and me. He wants you and me to grow. He wants you and me to become a part of His family forever. And we have a family that we don't even know yet. This was God the Father now. And others that we do not even know. They're going to be a part of that family. And as soon as we meet them, bam, we are family. Where are you from? Where have you been? What did you do? You know, what was in your life? The questions we ask each other. Wanting to know more about you. So we can become family. Real family. Family for each other. So I'm getting to wrap up today. I'd like to go to Ecclesiastes 10:13, which you know is putting on the whole armor of God. Because we need God's armor. Let's say Ecclesiastes. Oops, excuse me. Excuse me. I'm looking up and say, what did I say? How about let's go on to Ephesians? That sounded a whole lot better. Sorry about that. In verse 10, this is exhorting those who are part of God's family. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We talked about the devil, what he does, how he's a liar, as a roaring lion trying to destroy you and me. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having nothing, evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The truth of God's what we're talking about. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the heart. God said David was a man after God's own heart. David sinned, but he repented. That's what our heart has to be, is after our living God. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, God's word in our life. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, boldly, to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we can't speak boldly if we're in God's truth. And if we're doing God's will, we will fear no man. Or no man that Satan can send against us. Because God is our rock. Christ is our rock. You and I need to fear God. Stay close to God. Turn with me to Luke 12:4. Verse 4, Christ says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast you into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Drop down to verse 43, if you would. And it says, "Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Make him rule over everything. Let's be sure as we prepare for Passover and the days of unleavened bread that we come rejoicing before our God, knowing that once again, through His mercy, His love, His forgiveness, you and I will be there, and praying that each of us will be there when Jesus Christ returns.